This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America, broadcasting from intergalactic prairie studios on the corner of Trash View and Nada Vista. Yeah, that's all a bunch of hooey. I'm in my bedroom in Wyoming. But that's how radio's done these days, you know? Rush Limbaugh broadcasts from his house. I mean, it's a really nicer home studio than I have. And he's got a gold-plated microphone. But hey, you know. Yeah, people give the illusion of, people always say, broadcasting from such and such studio, and such and such studio these days, more and more, is someone's home. Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff has changed in our lifetimes, technology-wise. I mean, that's a given. That's what every radio show starts with these days. Technology has changed a lot in our lifetimes, but I mean, people have been writing the same article since 1995 of, you know, I mean, it's the same name as the college paper I wrote when I went back to college at 30 in 1994. And in 1995, I wrote an award-winning paper, a scholarship-winning paper called The Internet, The Future Is Now. And it was, you know, kind of a brave explanation, kind of a standard explanation of what the internet was, but not everybody knew then what the internet was, and kind of a prescient view of where the internet was probably going, which was probably largely based on where I wanted it to go, as well as predictions of other people who were more involved in it than I was. I was just I wasn't doing much with it yet then. I was just using it at college, and I got on the internet. And yes, we're going to talk about the swatting of the gun grabber. And yes, we're going to talk about autism. And yes, we're going to talk about synthesizers. And yes, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court saying you don't have to bake the ing cake. Which is a good thing. I care very little about politics. A lot of people get really freaked out about it. I care about freedom, and politics don't generally lead to much. But I guess I care more about who's on the Supreme Court than who the president is, because they really have more power for longer about how to interpret what law actually is. Although, you know, everyone else tries to interpret law, from presidents in their tweets down to, you know, cops arresting people for things that aren't illegal. They do it. There was one in Colorado not that long ago where somebody got arrested for having a, what's it called? It's a Draco. It's a little pistol machine, not a machine pistol. Well, it's an AK-47 pistol, basically. In its full auto working version is an incredibly powerful full machine pistol that you probably couldn't even, it would take two hands to fire it, put it that way. And it'd still probably knock you over or you'd lose control of it really easily. But, you know, this was a semi-auto version of it, completely legal, but some cop in Colorado saw it and was like, oh, I don't know what this is. Happens all the time. Cops don't know the law. I remember there was a cop in my town that was running for state rep about 10 years ago, back when I still cared about politics a little bit. And I was in the Republican Liberty Caucus, which is the libertarian, one of the libertarian wings of the Republican Party. And I believed that, you know, by getting the right people in there, we could change things, which I don't believe you can really do at any level except maybe the lowest and the highest, like the Supreme Court, the highest, and maybe the lowest, like, oh, I don't know, a cop that lets you go when you're committing a nonviolent crime, which is a crime with no victim that shouldn't be a crime, and gives you a warning, which happens also, which is a nice thing when it happens. That's, you know, loopholes. Loopholes are the, what'd someone say? Loopholes are the doors through which liberty flows. Yeah. Yeah, back when I cared about things and was, you know, working, I was the Wyoming chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus, and I was contacting politicians and basically giving them homework. You know, I was calling politicians and giving them a email, asking them if they would, you know, saying, I'm from the Republican Liberty Caucus, we'd be willing to endorse you if we like your answers on this test. And of course, people cheat on tests. And of course, politicians say they believe things that they don't really believe, that they never do, that they violate as soon as they're in offices. Read my lips. No new taxes. You know, for, you know, George Bush King George I, Bush, for one example of a Republican, and, you know, Democrat, let's see, you're saying, I'm not really coming after your guns. I just think there should be sensible gun laws, which invariably means I'm coming after your guns. Horrible, horrible people. That guy. Yeah, he's a sociopath, man. Most politicians are. Basically, to decide that you want to rule over everybody, you got to be charming, kind of smart, and something wrong with you. Well, something kind of smart at some levels. I don't know, though. There's some Congress people that are really stupid. But this was a cop who wanted to run for state rep in the town in the Mountain West where Intergalactic Prairie Studios is. And I called this cop up and asked him, he's like, well, I don't really have email, but, you know, how many questions is it? And I'm like, 10. And he's like, ask me over the phone. I'll do it right now. And I asked him the questions, and he failed pretty badly on some of them. And, you know, other ones, I mean, he passed the, like, he said, yes, I believe in the Second Amendment. And I said, well, you know, he said, but, you know, I do believe in taking away guns from people who've been convicted of felonies. And I said, all felonies or just violent felonies? He's like, all felonies. And these days, because of the police industrial, judicial industrial, court industrial, prison industrial complex, where people's jobs depend on putting more and more people through the ringer of the system and taking all their resources and ruining their lives over anything. And I'm not a victim of this. I mean, I might sound angry, like, oh, they took my... No, I've... Last time I talked to a cop was 9 years ago, and it was renewing my... it was 10 years ago. I was getting a pistol permit. And the last time before that I talked to a cop was probably 20 years before that, when I was walking down the street at night with a guitar case and a cop pointed a gun at my head and said, drop it and put your hands in the air, because I fit a description, which, you know, meant that the Great Lakes post-industrial depressed town that I was going to community college in was, you know, like some white guy was walking around with a pistol or a rifle. And I was a white guy walking around with a guitar case. So, you know, there must be a rifle in there. As near a trailer park. You know, the closer you are to a trailer park, the more the police treat white people like they're black people. So, yeah, I wasn't living in the trailer park. I was visiting a friend in the trailer park. I was one step above the trailer park. I was in a tenement with fleas. And I talked on a previous show here with a co-host, Phil Warmoth, about we were going to college. We're friends in college. And he said that he didn't have fleas, but it was because he didn't have a heater. It was too cold in his apartment for the fleas to live. So, yeah. So I asked this cop. I asked this cop. And they call themselves cops. It's not disrespectful. I'm using their terminology. So this cop, actually, he called himself a cop. He was like, you know, law-abiding cop running for office. I'll be your cop. I'll police the state or so. I don't know, the legislature. He did not win, by the way. But so his answer, you know, that was a bad answer for the Republican Liberty Caucus and for me, that he believed that anyone who's ever been convicted of a felony should have their gun rights taken away. I mean, you know how easy it is to get convicted of a felony? It happens all the time. Like, you marry the wrong woman, which I didn't. I married the right woman. But some people marry the wrong woman, or they have the wrong girlfriend. And, you know, they get in a screaming fight with each other. And they shove each other. And the woman she tries to hit him. He tries to protect himself from being hit and, you know, bruises her arm in self-defense, and she calls the cops and says, he tried to beat me up, and he has guns. And, you know, that's her way of breaking up, because she's not mature enough to... And it's not just ladies. The men do it, too. People do horrible things, and governments and states do horrible things to people in the name of security. And, you know, it's funny how people who love to quote, was it Benjamin Franklin allegedly said... People who, or was it Jefferson? One of the founding parchment signers said something like, he who wants security at the price of freedom will have none. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the thing. I believe that, but a lot of people who parrot that all the time are the same people who, like, vote for more police, more laws, even Republicans, even conservatives who vote for more and more and more and more laws and, you know, say there shouldn't be taxes, but then want an ever-increasing military that's present in every country that's acting like the police of the world and acting offensive, not defensive, or doing things like, we need to build a bigger public library with tax money. I mean, I'm not for spending tax money, but that's a good purpose. Well, first of all, if you have, you know, a $200 laptop computer or iPhone or Android phone now, you have basically the world's libraries at your fingertips for free. So you don't need libraries. Libraries are just public toilets for homeless people at this point. So it's a lot cheaper to just... And it's funny, too, because these are also people who are like, you know, the homeless are bad. We shouldn't build toilets for them and public toilets and encourage them. But they're the same people who want to build a huge library with tax money in my town where there's already a nice library. They want to build a second one because they think it's going to keep kids here, you know, because there's a brain drain in rural Mountain West communities because there's nothing here for smart people, for smart kids. You know, they can either work on the ranch, which is all going to be replaced by robots within 10 years. Let's be honest. They want to go learn to, well, if they're smart, they want to go to college somewhere or learn on their own online, which you can do to program so they can be the people who design and build and maintain the robots, which are going to be pretty much the only jobs in a few years. Although there's going to be still a lot of human service jobs until robots are really lifelike to the point where they can, oh, hey, the show Humans, new season tonight. Yay. That's my favorite show about very humanoid, intelligent robots being freely available at Walmart and then, you know, becoming intelligent and demanding human rights and then taking over because they're smarter, which could happen. It's kind of an update on Terminator, but much better. Humans. It's a UK BBC show. Watch it. You know, it's where like, yeah, not too distant future, and I'm going to get back to the cop, but not too distant future or parallel present where humanoid robots are, they're not free, but they're like, you know, the price of a really good used car, probably, you know, or leasing a really good used, or you're leasing a new car, like leasing a, not a Lexus, but, you know, like leasing a Ford truck, like whatever that would cost you, you could lease a robot that talks and looks like a human. You can kind of tell they're a robot at first, but, you know, they cook, they clean, they garden, they have marital relations with you if you want. They you know, scrub your floors, they answer your calls, they do your shopping, they raise your kids basically for you, and you know, then they become self-aware and that was where we left the last season. So the season picks up where they've just all woken up all around the world. Like at first a few were waking up. Spoiler alert, but hey, this is what, you know, the description on Netflix is going to say. So find it. It's somewhere. You can watch it. So I said to this cop, I said, you know, what do you think about... So he gave a bad answer about the gun rights thing, really. Because shall not be infringed doesn't mean, you know, I mean, a felony could be for... You know what's interesting? In some Mountain West states, it's not uncommon. There's a lot of bow hunting and there's a lot of black powder rifle hunting. And the reason is, it's not because those are so fun or they're so much more sporting. That's part of it. But it's basically because you can do that if you've had a felony. And there's so many people that have had felonies now. I mean, it's kind of the national pastime to find good people and ruin their lives with a felony arrest. And, you know, I mean, people who like had an ounce and a half of weed like 20 years ago, you know, in college. And now they don't do drugs. They're all grown up. They don't do drugs anymore. They're all grown up. And, you know, but they have this felony, this for life. And they can't own a gun. They can't protect themselves. They can't protect their wives and children or their husbands and children. That's a sin. That's immoral. It's absolutely immoral to take someone's right to self-defense away for that.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
And it's funny, too, because people who scream how much they love the Second Amendment often agree with that cop. They'll often say, yeah, you know, If you've had a felony, that should be it. And you know who that law is from? You know who that extraordinarily liberal, extraordinarily SJW social justice warrior law that if you've had a felony, you can never own a gun is from? That's from George W. Bush. That was his, he did it in Texas, and then he did it as president. He did it as governor in Texas. It was a get tough on crime. And I absolutely believe that should be true. If you're sticking guns in the faces of little old ladies or breaking into people's houses, you should never be able to have a gun again. Or conversely, you should be locked away somewhere for life. If you're such a threat to society that you can't own a gun, I don't think you should really be out on the street. Because if you're such a threat that you shouldn't own a gun, you can kill somebody a thousand ways. There's actually a show called A Thousand Ways to Die. I mean, we're seeing it in Europe with a lot of Islamist terrorists. They get a job as a convenient flower delivery man for a couple days, and then they drive the truck into a group of people, or they hotwire a car, or they own a car, or they borrow a car, and they drive it into a bunch of people. You know, knives are freely available. Like anywhere food is served or anywhere food is prepared, there are knives. When I was a bike messenger in San Francisco in the 80s, I did a lot of like cutting through alleys because there's less traffic and I knew the alleys. I knew the streets really well. And, you know, people can kill people by hitting them over the head with a brick. Back to the alleys thing. So San Francisco bike messenger, a lot of the neighborhoods that I delivered to had a lot of restaurants because they're in the financial district. Any financial district in any city or anywhere that there are restaurants, there's a back entrance and the back door is almost always open. I'm not telling you this is how to commit a crime. I mean, any bonehead could figure this out, but I'm saying how easy it is for someone bent on violence to hurt a bunch of people if they don't have a knife, if they don't have a gun. In England, where owning a knife is illegal to the point where like you can't have a steak knife over 4 inches in your home. It'd be really easy to walk into the kitchen from the alley. You know, they have the alley open because, first of all, it's really hot in the kitchens and they want some breeze. Second of all, they have to constantly go out to the dumpster or go out and hose off the mats when they get covered with grease or any number of things. You need the back door open. So if you looked like you were dressed, you know, to work in a kitchen, you could walk in, you know, basically if you had jeans and a t-shirt on and sneakers, you could walk into a kitchen, you could grab, you know, probably grab a schmock off the hook near the back door, because that's where they often keep them, where you punch in. You could put one of those on. You could walk into the kitchen. It's busy during rush, you know, during lunch rush or dinner rush. You could grab a big knife, walk out, and just start stabbing people. I mean, people that want to kill people can do it. They can drive cars. They can stab them. They can hit them over the head with a brick. There were kids recently arrested for dropping cinder blocks off of a overpass and it killed somebody. I mean, if people want to kill people, they can do it and they don't need guns to do it. So if somebody is so violent that they shouldn't have a gun, they should be in prison for life. They shouldn't be out amongst us. So it's ridiculous and immoral to want to give people felonies for things like that. So yeah, that cop didn't pass the test. This is the way I've taken 18 minutes of getting around to say that, yeah, he didn't pass the test. He wasn't liberty enough to rule my life, which is how I look at it now. Like back then I was thinking, we got to get the right people in there. And, you know, at a local level or maybe even at a state level, sometimes that's true. I think it's true at a DA level. I think that DAs, if you can find a DA district attorney that believes in just a modicum of liberty, that's a guy you might want in there. I tend to dismiss the whole thing. I tend to dismiss it like, and they're all a bunch of socialists, but there are people that mean well, they get those jobs, especially at the local and state level, but it's more and more rare. And it's more and more rare that you get police who care about really protecting and serving, because that used to be the case. And I'm not saying it was a libertarian paradise in America in the 60s and 70s, especially if you weren't white and if you're white and poor. But, they didn't do quite so much kicking in the wrong door and shooting people's dogs back then as they do now, because really they hadn't amped up the drug war so much, which was, not just Republicans. I mean, Nixon, well, really like pot was outlawed in the 30s because Hearst wanted to corner the market on trees for paper because he owned a lot of papers and he owned a lot of forests in the Pacific Northwest, and hemp, which is pot, sort of. It's crappy pot. It's pot that doesn't have much THC in it, because hemp is a much better paper product. I mean, hemp, you can have like 3 crops a year, and, you know, wood takes 50 years to grow a tree, or 30 years before you can harvest it. And so William Randolph Hearst, the grandfather or great-grandfather of Patty Hearst. Yeah, like people that are that crazy right wing end up having offspring that are crazy left wing. Like his granddaughter was Patty Hearst, who joined the Symbionese Liberation Army and robbed banks for a bunch of socialist nut jobs in California. Don't ask for either foot's boot on your head. Because they're all horrible, and they all want to take your rights. They all want to take the rights that are God-given or naturally born, however you want to look at it. Whichever, you know, if you're religious, they're God-given. If you're agnostic, they're natural rights. And there are natural rights. I mean, the right to defend yourself. I mean, animals have that. You know, cats have claws. Bears have teeth. Dogs have teeth. You know, animals can run. They can hide. Like everything that animals do, when people do that, people, they want to regulate it. Like, for instance, like a tortoise has a shell. That's a form of basically body armor. I mean, it wouldn't protect against a bullet, but it would protect against teeth. So, you know, but if you want to have body armor, like in California, you cannot have a ballistic vest. You can't have what they call a bulletproof vest. That's only for the elite. That's only for the king's men who carry the sword for the king, you know, the police and the military. And if you think it's unpatriotic that I'm bashing the military, you should know that the founding fathers, or at least the good ones, they weren't all good. Hamilton was a skunk. But Jefferson, I don't know how much I can like Jefferson. He owned people. And I guess you could say, well, it was the style of the day. But you know what? If owning people were legal, I wouldn't do it now. I don't care if it's the style of the day. But he said some good stuff. Like Reagan said some good stuff. Reagan said, the scariest sentence in the English language is, we're from the government and we're here to help you, which sounds like a libertarian bordering on anarcho-capitalist voluntarist thing to say. But that guy added gun laws. He outlawed concealed carry. He outlawed open carry in California because the Black Panthers did it. You know, it's okay when white men did it, but when black men did it, it scared him. So he added gun law. He's remembered as this prince of conservatism, but he added gun laws, he raised taxes, and he added government regulations. He increased the size. He built some government agencies that have festered and become really big, like boils that will never, you know, that are still oozing all over us. He increased the size of the military-industrial complex. He basically created ISIS, or at least the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, which, you know, turned into ISIS eventually. Yeah, if you want to look at, there's a movie called Charlie Wilson's War, which you should check out. It's about Charlie Wilson, who was a Texas congressman. I think he was a Democrat, but back then, a Texas Democrat was basically a Republican now. And he was friends with Reagan. And so, you know, big superpowers like to fight proxy wars. Like, you know, the U.S. and Russia aren't fighting each other, but the Vietnam War was a proxy war with America on one side and maybe France on that side, if you want to look at it that way. And then, you know, Russia and China on the other side. Those were, you know, like those guys working in rice paddies didn't own AK-47s. They couldn't afford them. Those were given to them by the Russians and the Chinese, you know, to fight the Americans and the South, to fight the non-commies, basically. And America had this idea of the domino effect of, we need to stop communism in all its forms or it'll spread like dominoes throughout the world and end up knocking us over, which probably isn't really true. And I think instead of trying to regulate, stop that around the world, which ends up creating suicide bombers. Yes, I'll say it. When you go over and have total war on civilian populations and blow up a wedding party of 50 people, including pregnant women, to kill one guy who may or may not be a bad guy, it's a war crime, first of all. And second of all, it doesn't decrease attacks on your nation and your assets and your people. It increases it, because every time I'm all for going over there and getting the one bad guy, but you know, use SEAL Team 6. Don't, uh, don't blow up a wedding party. Because when you're blowing up a wedding party and you kill 50 or 75 people, and then they do this crazy thing. The U.S. does this thing called a double tap attack. And I'm not talking about where you shoot somebody twice like you're trained in the military or like police are trained. You know, when they see a dog, they shoot it. That kind of thing. When they see a civilian with a cell phone, they shoot it. Double tap attack with drones is they blow up the wedding party and then they freaking blow up the ambulances coming to treat the wounded. How immoral is that? You know, and if you're sitting there saying, well, we got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. Okay, if your omelet is freedom, you're making yourself less free by doing that. Because every time you blow up 50 people to get one guy, and those 50 people are innocent, they are innocent. You know, they're just there, and the bad guy is a cousin of a cousin of a cousin, or maybe the caterer, or whatever, he's there. You're creating hundreds of suicide bombers, because everyone in those families, think about this. You who own a battle rifle, you who defend your country, you who cheered for America like I did in Red Dawn, the old version and the new version. Think about what you'd do if somebody killed everyone in your family and they represented some force, some thing. You'd want to wipe that thing out and you'd be willing to die to do it if you have courage, probably. I'm not saying these people are good people for being suicide bombers, but I'm saying that good people, good, hardworking, honest, simple people, goat herders, you know, people who don't have any aspiration really other than to feed their family and make their life better for their kids like you do. If you push a good man too far, you turn him into a bad guy. It happens. And it's unintended consequences. The term for it is blowback. That is a term created by the FBI. Unfortunately, government agencies don't really pay attention to blowback anymore. They created that term, I think, in the 60s or 70s. Ron Paul voted it from the quoted that from the floor of Congress around 2001 and basically got shouted down because there was so much fever of we have to turn the Middle East into a parking lot. That's what people were thinking. And forgetting that Israel is in the Middle East and most of them like Israel. Humans. Humans in your machinations. Humans in your macaranias. So, yeah, that cop didn't pass the test when I gave him the test on liberty. But he didn't win. Someone else did who was, I don't know, talked a better talk, I think. So, do you know about Cell 411? Cell 411 is a really cool app for Android and iPhone that allows you to set up cells with your friends and family and people that you'd like to contact in an emergency other than the police, who more and more will show up and try to find a reason to arrest you or shoot your dog or shoot you, or, you know, like what happened to someone that I interviewed in the Liberty movie I made called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, where she called the fire department because there was some Beavis and Butthead-ish kids had set a couch on fire in the alley that someone had thrown out in the alley. Someone lit it on fire. She called the fire department. They showed up. They sent the police up to talk to her because, I don't know, this thing of like, if you called, you might know who did it or something. She didn't know who did it. And the cops walked in and they smelled pot and they arrested her and it ruined her life. And before you say, well, she should know better, that's none of your business. You know, I don't smoke pot, but I think that I know that it's immoral to try to stop someone from doing that. And it's also immoral to try to regulate it in any way. Of, you know, like these ridiculous things of, well, you can have three plants, but if you have four, it's a felony. Because, no, if you believe in free trade and you believe that your body is your own and you believe in the freedoms that are allegedly ensconced in the sacred documents of America, then you shouldn't be in favor of that. You should not cheer when they kick indoors. So more and more they do that where, you know, kick indoors and ask questions later or show up because you called them to help them, to help you, because that's what you do. She didn't even call the cops. She called the fire department. They brought the cops. The cops arrested her when she was the one being the good citizen calling them, you know, calling the fire department early when she smelled smoke before it burned down a building and killed a bunch of children, which could have happened. It was a wooden apartment building with a lot of, you know, poor families in it. So Cell 411 is so you can call your buddy, you know, who your buddy who can come put out a small fire, who lives two blocks away, who has a fire extinguisher and can put out a little fire in a smoldering in a couch instead of calling the fire department. Or you can call your friend when someone's breaking into your house. Well, I don't know if you'd call your friend. You'd probably take care of it yourself and then call your friend. But, you know, or let's say you've seen creepy people casing your house and you want to have someone come over and be there. Any of these things, or a medical emergency, maybe you know a nurse. Maybe you can work out a deal with a nurse where if there's something that's not big enough that it has to go to a hospital, that you can sell 411 the nurse and she'll come over and then, you know, you can babysit her kids for a week or something for patching up your whatever. So the kind of things people used to do, how people used to help each other before government got in the way to where helping people was illegal. Cell 411 is really good for that. It's a free app for Android and iPhone. You can get it free on the stores for either of those app systems for phones, or you can get it at getcell411.com. And like I said, you set up cells of your friends and there's a little wheel on the front and it says like, what's your emergency? Fire, theft, medical emergency, crime in progress, bullying. Oh, this is a great thing to get. Like you say, if your kid's being bullied and let's say your fifth grade kid's being bullied and his 11th grade brother is going to the same school on the other end of the school. Like he could call this when he's being bullied, or just anybody who's being messed with. It's a great way to help people help each other. And I'm kind of it's a paid advertiser, but I use it and I used it before. I went to them because I wanted to advertise this because I use it and I love it. And I believe in systems that decentralize, that give power back, power to the people. And I don't mean in a communist way. I mean in a non-bureaucratic way. Communism is nothing but bureaucracy. It's bureaucracy backed by the barrel of many rifles. But this is like cutting through the red tape, you know? So check out Cell 411. So you know what Cell 411 would be good for is if you're being swatted and you want to call friends to come film it from outside. So, you know, when they shoot you for something you didn't do, there's evidence maybe, or at least evidence of something. Swatting is where people use computers to spoof phone numbers and pretend to be calling from the victim or swattee's house. And, usually play recordings of people being stabbed or screaming for help and, you know, kind of make the recording sound like they're in the background or the other room. And then call frantically to 911, sometimes it across the country or across the world, and, you know, say, I'm so-and-so at such-and-such house, and there's a man in here trying to kill me and my wife, and I gotta go, he's coming in here, you know. And then the cops send out the SWAT team, they surround the house, they kick in the doors. They might shoot first and, you know, apologize later or not. And it's a really horrible thing when people do this. It's using the guns of the government against their fellow citizens. It's slave on slave violence, basically. And it's usually horrifying, but today it happened. Well, you're going to be hearing this a few days from now, but this week it happened to a guy. I'm going to say it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. It happened to David Hogg. H-O-G-G, who is one of the new generation of gun grabbers who doesn't say things like, I think we should have sensible gun control, you know, like Bill Clinton did. This kid says, I'm going to take your guns. You know, he's one of the kids. He claims to be one of the kids who was at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. Is that the name of it? I don't know. That school, you know, that school in Florida where somebody was shot, a bunch of people were shot recently by a student who walked out, got away at first because he walked out. He was an ex-student and he put on a sweatshirt of the school, like a school sweatshirt that he had from when he went there. And he was just a few years older, so he blended in and walked out with the other, ran out with the victims, like looked like a victim and walked away. But so David Hogg has kind of become, there were three kids that were kind of the spokespeople of these. One was the short-haired lesbian Puerto Rican woman who clamors for socialism and doesn't realize that under every socialist government ever, homosexuals have been murdered in mass. So she's calling for a system that would wipe her out. And you know, like praising Che Guevara and having, you know, the crying when he died and things like that, and being like in favor of, this is the new breed. They don't hide it anymore. A lot of them don't say, I just think we should have favorable gun control. They say, I want to repeal the Second Amendment. They say gun ownership's not, they don't even say gun ownership's not a right, it's a privilege. I've heard some people say that, which basically means they want like Ireland-style gun ownership, which is like, yeah, you can own a gun in Ireland, but you can't do it if you have any distant cousin in the IRA, and you can't do it if you've ever been arrested for jaywalking even. And in order to do it, you have to take a bunch of classes, you have to buy the gun from the government, and you never can bring it home. You have to join a gun club that's approved by the government and keep it at the gun club. And it's way more expensive than a gun here because there's all sorts of tariffs and taxes and boobles and boobahs added onto the price of it by the government. To where, you know, rich people can have a revolver in a vault at another location that they can go to once a month and shoot at a paper target. That's gun ownership in Ireland. Whereas in Australia, that's almost illegal. I mean, it's even harder than that. But that's what people mean when they say, I think gun ownership's not a right, it's a privilege. But these kids today don't even think that. They say, I want to take your guns. And then it's funny because they also like, then you get people scream at them and they're like, hey, bro, I'm just a kid. Don't yell at me. When, you know, they're just a kid who's advocating for us to get swatted and murdered, basically. So it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I'm not happy it happened. There's a little schadenfreude, I think. No one was home, so I'm happy it happened. You know, he was in D.C. screaming at politicians that we have to, anytime someone.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com.
Here's a life lesson. Anytime someone says, we need to, what they mean is the government should point a gun at you if you don't do my will. When they say, we need to, that is code for there ought to be a law, which is code for a law without guns backing it is a suggestion. So when people say we need a law, there ought to be a law, they mean I want heavily armed paramilitary men with guns en masse to kick in your door, point guns at your head and make you comply, which is what happens with gun confiscation. So David Hogg has been screeching, autistically screeching. I'm a little autistic. So I'm on the spectrum. I'm on the low end, the Asperger spectrum. I'm going to get to that later. But I'm enough of an Aspie that when people are really overtly on the other end of the spectrum in my face, I get really upset. And if anybody thinks I'm making fun of the disabled, I have enough of that. I wouldn't call that a disability. I think most of the major scientists that developed things and did groundbreaking things and artists in the world and musicians, progress is made by people with Asperger's, but they're really difficult to get along with. I might be. I'm not going to answer that question. Am I being detained? I don't know if I'm difficult to get along with. I think there's just a lot of people in the world that are difficult to get along with and don't get my particular brand of cool. Kind of like Rick on Rick and Morty. I'm kind of like him. But, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the universe. I just think I am. So David Hogg, wants to take our guns. So somebody swatted him today, and he and his parents were in D.C. clamoring at politicians that we gotta repeal the Second Amendment. This kid, if you listen to interviews with him, this kid just wants to be important. If it wasn't this, if it were something else, he would have clung to that as desperately and with as much lying. He's lying. Okay, that's the thing. He wasn't at the school when this happened. Like, there's an interview outtake that, and this isn't like crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy stuff. This is mainstream tinfoil hat conspiracy stuff. It's CNN. There's a CNN video that's been taken down now, but I saw it and it was like an hour. And it was, you know, an interview with him and the lesbian socialist who wants a government that will kill all lesbians, because that's what socialism does. That's what Castro did. Castro killed homosexuals. He killed people that listened to rock music. It's so weird that all these hipsters have him on his chest like he's a hero, because, you know, what's the Dead Kennedy song? Nazi punks F off. The line is, in the real Third Reich, you'd be the first to go. Well, in real socialism, most people with a Che Guevara t-shirt would be the first to go. They wouldn't kill them immediately. They'd probably put them in camps to do labor and work them to death. But yeah, I mean, that's the end goal of all socialism, is to work. What's going to happen when the robots take over to where you don't need the workers of the world and you can just lock them out of the smart factories? That's interesting. We're going to get there not very long from now. So yeah, David Hogg was swatted, and I kind of laughed when I heard that. I was kind of not embarrassed to laugh, but afraid to laugh. I mean, they say we have free speech. But it's such a hair trigger, no pun intended, hair trigger, everyone's triggered society. I mean, the left and the right want to kill each other. That's never really happened before. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. No, I'm not saying like, I do understand it. I mean, it's got, and I'm not saying like, we need to meet in the middle. No. We need far less tyranny. Both sides are into tyranny. Both of the sides that want to kill each other. Well, I don't know. I mean, these people want to kill us. What's the appropriate reaction emotionally? I'm not saying go out and do things to them. I'm saying, like, emotionally, is it okay to kind of laugh when a bunch of armed men storm in their house and point guns at an empty house? I think it's funny, man. I really do. And, you know, you could say too soon, but no. These people can't kill you soon enough if you own guns. And their idea, if they had their way, all guns would be illegal tomorrow, except for the police and the military. Boy, what a bad idea that is. I mean, that's the beginning of every tyrannical government, is, you know, military coup and, yeah, only the government has guns. Nobody really uses the Second Amendment, okay? If the Second Amendment is allegedly to stop tyrants, no one uses it for that. I mean, you could probably argue that the last time it was used for that was Abraham Lincoln. And that's not a pro-slavery thing. That's a pro-secession thing. I think anybody should be able to leave anything to telling them what to do, really. But nobody uses it for that. And I guess a guy shot a congresswoman, but he was just crazy. He didn't even have a reason for it. I'm not saying we should use it. It's too, what is it Claire Wolf said 15 years ago? It's too early. It's too late to change things by voting, and too early to shoot them. I'm not going to advocate forever shooting them. I would like to see peaceful solutions. I would enjoy that. You know, if the tyrants were smart, they'd give a little longer of a leash, because if they gave everyone a little longer of a leash, they'd have a longer reign and they'd be able to collect more tax money. If Trump woke up tomorrow and tweeted, all drugs are legal now. If you sell them to children, you'll go to prison for life. But all drugs are legal if you're a consenting adult, or even just pot. If he just did that with pot tomorrow, how would the liberals hate him? They wouldn't be able to hate him anymore. They'd be like, but, you know, if he did something to appease the right, I don't know. What do they like? What do y'all like? I don't know, remove the tax on ammunition. How's that? No sales tax. I decree that no states, if he decreed that no, or you know, something, I don't know, that Oh, allow silencers. That's a big one now. I'd like that because I have tinnitus from playing in rock bands. And I have to wear like gun hearing protection to do dishes. Because if dishes clang together, it hurts. You know, the screech of like truck brakes or bus brakes, if I'm walking on the street, just like they feel to me like fingernails on a blackboard feel to everybody times five. So yeah, like I like shooting, but I can't do a lot of it. And, you know, doing like 30 caliber stuff, even wearing hearing protection and foam earplugs under that, like my ears are ringing for 3 days. If I go out and shoot, you know, 100 rounds of 30 cal, anything, or shotgun. So basically I'm like plinking with 22s when I go now. I don't have any guns. I lost my guns in a boating accident. You know, people always joke about that. And it's funny because I've been saying that for years and I didn't make it up. I heard it somewhere else. Like when someone asks you, what guns do you have on the internet? You know, everyone, smart people answer, I lost my guns in a boating accident. I say I lost my guns in a voting accident, but it's basically saying it's none of your business. And, you know, even if it's your business and I like you, there's other people reading this, even if it's a private chat. So unless it's encrypted, and not enough people use that. Not enough people use Signal, which is a free app you can get on Android and iPhone that allows you to speak encrypted with your friends. Speak or text. And it actually, and there's another one called WhatsApp. It's like WhatsApp, but it's WhatsApp. Those two are both truly encrypted. And yeah, the only problem I have was that they keep a record of it. They shouldn't keep a record of it. You also shouldn't need a phone number to tie it to. And basically what the government would know now is that someone with your number is using encryption, but they can't see what you're saying. What I would do if you really want to have encrypted talks is I'd get a burner cell phone and then put one app on it. And that app would be WhatsApp or Signal. The thing is, both of those sound better than a phone call. Like the audio quality is better and clearer. You have to be, you know, like using your Wi-Fi or using your minutes. But, you know, if you're at home, you can use your Wi-Fi. But it's encrypted end to end. And if the other person is doing that, I mean, you can speak totally encrypted. I mean, they can still hear you if there's a microphone in your room, like if there's another phone in your room. And, you know, if people think I'm crazy for like telling people how to speak encrypted, you're crazy. I have nothing to hide. And I don't want to be spied on. I think that's going to be the name of the show. I said that recently and people liked it. I have, writing it down, nothing to hide. But, yeah. All right. So, really, I mean, that's the Fourth Amendment. That's, you know, being secure in your papers and person and house. And if you believe in the Constitution, you should believe that anyone should be able to speak encrypted without a backdoor, and that no, Apple should not crack the phone for the FBI. It's your right, and there shouldn't be exceptions. There are not exceptions to basic human rights. And the Constitution is just a piece of paper. The only power it has is what you let it have, you know, you and millions of other people. And you let it lose power when you say things out loud to other people or even think in your own head, well, you know, if you got nothing to hide, you shouldn't mind if the government reads your emails. No, you should mind. Because what you're doing, well, because you can, because you should, because it's a right, because it's a natural right and it's none of their freaking business. But, you know, if you want a logistic reason why you shouldn't want the government or, you know, anyone else reading your mail, or you're hearing your phone calls or reading, you know, anything, knowing what you search online, something you do now that's perfectly legal could be illegal in 5 or 10 years, you know? Whether it's, I don't know, like herbal supplements for you know, improving your eyesight, or whether it's owning a gun, or whether it's being interested in, you know, particular kinds of guns or particular caliber of guns, anything that you're interested in could become illegal. Oh, I never really finished saying the thing about the Supreme Court. So the ruling was that you don't have to bake the cake. Now, real quickly, the facts in this case are somebody in Colorado runs a cake shop. He's a conservative Christian. Some gay couple went to him and said, bake our cake. And he said, no. And they said, I'm telling daddy on you. And they went to the government. And the government tried to make him take the cake. And Oregon actually passed a law that said, you'll bake the cake. And someone like lost their business over this. Like, people destroyed someone's family business because they demanded service from somebody. Now, here's a hint. Don't force people that don't like you to prepare food for you. If you've ever worked in a fast food place, and I have, and you see what people do to your food when you're rude to them, and this is beyond rude. This is, I'm going to take your livelihood and ruin your life rude. This is, I want to see you rot in jail. This is, I would love to send SWAT on you because you won't bake my cake. That's the level of discourse with these people. And the real truth is nobody should have to do anything for anybody, really. And this has been framed as a gay rights issue by the left, and it's been framed as a religious rights issue on the right. It is neither. You have to realize that. Who you hang out with, you know, freedom of association. That's what it is, which is guaranteed in the Constitution. Now, there's an interesting slippery slope here to the fact that the Supreme Court said you don't have to bake the cake. Oh, and when I say bake the effing cake, I'm making fun of alleged libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson, who's really not a libertarian. I mean, that guy doesn't understand libertarianism. He is a Republican who likes smoking pot. That doesn't make you libertarian. Libertarian is a word that was created as an antonym to authoritarian. Authoritarian is the opposite of libertarian. Libertarian is the opposite of authoritarian. When I say libertarian, I don't mean the Libertarian Party. With Gary Johnson, it is. But it's really funny. I'm an admin on this Facebook group called Punk Rock Libertarians. It has 194,000 people following it or something. And I mean, I haven't checked today. It might be 195,000 today. It's constantly going up. It's a lot of people. It's a very popular page. And half the time when we post anything on there about libertarianism, a lot of people freak out and say, like, you're what's wrong with the Libertarian Party. And I'm like, I reply, like, I'm not in the Libertarian Party, man. I've never been in the Libertarian Party. You know, there's so many reasons not to be. I mean, I guess they served a purpose for a long time of, as a thought experiment. I think that they did spread liberty by existing, but the original purpose of it was never to get people in office. And they really haven't, except at local levels. Or maybe, I think there's some state reps in New Hampshire, but I think they ran as Republicans and won as Republicans. I think one ran as a Democrat and won. Like, they just played whatever the card was in their district, because a certain amount of people, which is probably more than 50%, at least not in elections other than national presidential elections, a certain number of people will just vote their party. And it's probably between 30 and 50%. So in some districts, you know, if you want to win as a libertarian, you have to run as a Democrat or as a Republican. And, you know, the libertarians show up and vote for you. That's, I don't know, 6%. If we're talking inclusively, you know, not just Libertarian Party people, that's like 1%. Gary Johnson got like 6 or 7% of the national vote, that's of the primary. That's amazing. I mean, that's a lot. But they're not voting for Gary Johnson. They're voting for the idea of liberty. And Gary Johnson isn't really into the idea of liberty, because he said, oh, just bake the effing cake. He swore and just said, yeah, he's not a libertarian. He's a Republican that smokes pot and swears. That doesn't make you libertarian. He said, just bake the freaking cake. You know, that was his answer to, like, so an interviewer asked him about that whole scandal. And he's like, just bake the cake, you know, like, oh, just do it. Like, why don't you just do it? Well, because you don't want to, and you shouldn't have to, and you shouldn't have to serve anybody that you don't want to serve. Now, there's an interesting slippery slope to this, but it really can't be appealed, because the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what the law means in America. But I think that this has some interesting, you know, this whole thing of you don't have to bake the cake has interesting implications for the Civil Rights Act, because it kind of seems contradictory to the Civil Rights Act. And I'm in favor of racial equality, but I'm against the Civil Rights Act. And that is something that no liberal can wrap their head around, and probably half of conservatives can't wrap their head around. So I'm disabled. I have really bad lung problems, and I pretty much need to park in the disabled parking spot to get into a place of business. But I don't think I'll use, and I'm not a hypocrite because I use that placard because I can, and it makes it more convenient. But I don't believe that businesses should have to have that placard or should have to honor that placard. I don't believe that businesses should have to have a ramp for people with disabilities. And I'm not really comparing being of color or being gay to being disabled, but they all are special classes. In that way, I'm comparing them. They're all special classes with special rights that are largely based on what you're born with or, you know, what you do, what industrial accidents you're in, you know. So what lifestyle you have. And I'm talking about, I have lung problems from smoking, mostly from smoking. That's all my fault. I smoked for 30 years. I've stopped and I'm getting better. And I want to say I did something today that I'm really proud of, which was I walked on a treadmill for 5 minutes going 1.2 miles per hour. And that sounds like to most people, but I haven't been able to do that in 5 years. And this year is the first, today was the first time I've done that. And I'm just proud of myself. I just want to say that. I mean, I was dying a couple years ago. I quit smoking, and after that I vaped. And I know it upsets people when I say this, but vaping is not safe. It's more safe than cigarettes, but it's not safe. And in a way, if you're really into nicotine, it's less safe than cigarettes because you can do more of it because it doesn't choke you as much. And I did it to the point that my lungs were so full of fluid that for 6 months, I couldn't breathe. And for the first 2 months of that, I didn't have oxygen therapy. And finally, the government got around to allowing my insurance company for insurance I pay for to grant me the oxygen that I needed. And I got it, and it was good. I need less and less of it now too. And I actually took my oxygen down with me to walk on the treadmill with me, and I didn't need it. I was monitoring my oxygen while I was on there, and I did not need it, which is miraculous. I mean, I couldn't take the trash out to the street 2 years ago. You know, I was dying. And my wonderful wife, people say this sickness and for health thing. My wife passed that test. Not that it's a test to pass, but I'm really grateful that she did that, that she didn't cut and run when I was so sick I couldn't do anything at all. I mean, I couldn't move. I was sitting there breathing oxygen, taking medication, trying to get better. She's great. So anyway, so this thing about the Supreme Court saying you don't have to bake the freaking cake, it's a good thing. And like I said, I care more about who's on the Supreme Court than who's president, because it lasts longer and they really have more power. And I don't like Trump. He's better than Hillary. Hillary is a nightmare. But Hillary would have out, guns would be illegal by now. There would be, she probably would have pulled all the troops back from Afghanistan to raid homes in America for gun ownership by now. And yeah, I know there's something called the Oath Keepers, but not many soldiers would do that. Not many soldiers are going to refuse a direct order. That's how you end up in the brig or court-martialed or treason. Could be considered treason. I mean, you know, they do take an oath to the Constitution, and the cops take an oath to the Constitution, and God bless them. Any that would refuse an unconstitutional order, but they're fewer and further between. I mean, in Louisiana during Hurricane Katrina, they confiscated guns door to door from honest people who needed them more than ever. And they actually brought down the Ohio National Guard to do it because Louisiana National Guard didn't want to do it. You know, they didn't want to, or maybe they just didn't think they'd want to do it. They didn't want to send them door to door, you know, and let some of their neighbors that they knew get away with keeping their rights. So I never finished. I'll get back to Supreme Court, but I never finished. And I'm getting better at this. I'm getting better at realizing I said something an hour ago that I didn't finish and finishing it, which is really good, the best. That's important to storytelling. because I've listened to like really good speakers like Henry Rollins. I've listened to like a bunch of his spoken word things. And there's one of them that just really bugged me. I liked it, but it left me feeling unsettled. And I listened a few more times and realized he started a story at the beginning of it and never, and then went off on asides and never came back to it. He usually comes back to it. Another thing that's really important is when you have to like, if you're ever writing movies or screenplays or books or maybe even country songs, you know, something with a story, the characters have to be likable or the show will fail. No matter how, no matter how cool the show is, no matter how messed up the protagonists are, and good protagonists always, you know, they're either drunks or divorced or they have some problem. Probably because Hollywood screenwriters are mostly drunk and divorced, so they're writing about themselves. And that's true. I know some of them and know people who know others from back when I lived there and was doing movie stuff. No matter how messed, I mean, like Rick and Morty. I don't know if you like that show, but Rick and Morty. Rick is the highest functioning bad alcoholic in the galaxy, you know. And the guy who writes him is too, Dan Harmon, and he's also depressed. But he makes hilarious stuff that makes me laugh and makes a lot of people laugh. Yeah, so you have to make your characters likable. A really good example is there's a show called The Americans, which is about Russian spies living in America as Americans in the Cold War in the late 70s, early 80s. And, you know, I was taught to hate the Russians when I was a kid, but now the Russians are the good guys and the Middle Easterners are the bad guys. You know, what is it? We've always been at war with East Asia. That thing in 1984. They change every month who they're fighting. Who everyone has to hate.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Or, you know, who they've poked enough to fight back and seem to have a reason to hate. So, yeah, it's easy. You know, now that I've met people who are Russian, it's harder to hate Russia like I was taught when I was a kid. And they made me duck and cover under our desks as, you know, the Kremlin was going to bomb us any minute for our freedoms. They did have spies living here as Americans back when it was a lot easier to like fake IDs and there weren't as many central computers. And this is about a family. The first couple episodes, the first season I really liked because it was like, you know, the era I grew up in. It was the style of like music, clothing, dress, video games, everything. It was like my childhood, but with spies. And it was really good writing. And it was I liked everything about it except the characters. By the end of the first season, I realized like I don't really like these people. And then I watched the beginning of the second season and just stopped because they just weren't likable. So if you're ever writing something, make the people likable. Maybe not even likable, but the audience has to care what happens to them. That's the thing. So that cop that was running for office and I was interviewing him to see if he was worthy of the stamp of freshness from the Republican Liberty Caucus. He said something ridiculous, and it was about drugs, and it was that, it was something like, well, people have a right to bear arms, and people have a right to free speech to a point. I have a problem with that, too, to a point. I think people have the right to any free speech. I don't know that you have the right to, you know, they say free speech. The Supreme Court met on this a long time ago and decided that there are limits to free speech. For instance, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You know, you can't cause a stampede where people are hurt with your words. I think that I guess swatting would come under, is that free speech? No, I don't think it is. I think that's fraud. I think it would come under a different thing if that's fraud. And, you know, I think shouting fire in a crowded theater is fraud. But I don't really think there should be limits on opinion speech. I guess I'll say that. And I don't think there should be limits on what you're interested in or what you research or what you look at or anything you do involving words, writing or reading. So this cop said that I believe that there's free speech with limits. I believe that there's gun rights with limits. But, you know, there's not a right to take drugs. And I said, what do you mean? I said, what about the Ninth and Tenth Amendment? And he said, what's that? This is a guy who wants to like write the laws for my state. You know, I mentioned two of the founding document of our nation, the thing that controls all the laws, including the state laws under it. And I said, well, I think that drugs are allowed because of the 9th and 10th Amendment. And he said, what's that? And I said, they're the two amendments that basically say, in a nutshell, if it's not covered here, you have the right to do it. And he said, well, but okay, but it does say in the Constitution that you can't take drugs. And my jaw just dropped. I was like, and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I don't have it in front of me, but it is in there. It says that you can't take drugs. And I said, are you interpreting something like the Interstate Commerce Clause? And he said, what's that? And I said, never mind. What do you mean? He said, no, it's in there, in those words. I mean, not those words, but it says drugs. And it says you don't have the right to do them. This is a cop. This is a person that can arrest you, throw you in jail, and then you have to buy a lawyer and sort it out. You have to rent a lawyer and sort it out. You miss work. You lose your job. You get branded as a felon. A lot of times you can't get hired if you've been arrested. You know, no, that's something that the Democrats want to do. Nancy Pelosi took that thing further of, you know, what George W. Bush said of, you know, that you should never be able to have a gun if you've been convicted of a felony. Nancy Pelosi said you should never be able to have a gun if you've been arrested for a felony. That's nuts, man, because a lot of people who are innocent get arrested and are exonerated. A lot of people who are arrested, innocent get arrested and go to prison, too, especially if they're poor. I was going to say poor and black, but actually poor white people are almost black people in this country. They might even be worse off now. But no, a rich black man has a lot more rights in this country than a poor white man. I mean, a rich black man might get pulled over by some racial profiling idiot. But no, once he gets to court, having good attorneys that you can pay to do more than a meet and plead is what they call it when overworked. You know, people always say public defenders are no good. They're just out of law school. That's not always true. Sometimes really good attorneys do side work as, especially federal public defenders, because for one thing, the government pays. Sometimes clients don't, and you have to go after them. And the federal government doesn't pay as much, usually, as a lawyer's fee. Like, they'll pay 4/5 as much, maybe. You know, they have a limit for all lawyers of what they'll pay for particular jobs. But yeah, they definitely pay. So a lot of attorneys will do that when they have, you know, when they're not booked up with other stuff. So, but they don't, the government doesn't pay for them to have a lot of time, you know, like they don't meet with you and build a case and, you know, have correspondences back and forth and request records. Often they meet you in the courthouse about 10 minutes before, you know, in the little conference room down in the basement right past the holding cell. You know, they meet you for about 5 or 10 minutes. There, sometimes less. There's actually a show called Better Call Saul, which my wife, who's a paralegal, says is extraordinarily accurate in some ways. And one is where he's working as a public defender for the state of New Mexico. And he's meeting people like running into the courtroom, like, okay, what's your name? What are you accused of? What's your crime? And like, oh, you need a belt. Okay, your pants are falling off. I'm going to give you my belt. You know, like, like, here's a comb. Comb your hair. Like that kind of thing. You know, that's public defenders. Like sometimes they have, you know, 1 minute to prep, but usually it's 10 or 20, but that's not enough. Yeah, so, you know, there's no justice for the poor man. There's justice for the rich man, regardless of the color of his skin. And I'm not against rich. You know, really, if you want to help the poor people, make enough money that you, not that you can give them money, but that you have the free time to to do it and that you can stay out of jail yourself. Because there's a lot of people that don't even know they committed a crime that end up in jail. Or they don't know how to talk to the police when they're pulled over. There's a book I'll recommend. It's called Arrest Proof Yourself. And even if you're a 100% law-abiding citizen, you should read it because people end up in jail all the time. Like a really common thing is, you know, an adult, law-abiding adult lends their car to their, you know, teenage kid or their cousin or their nephew. And kid goes out riding with his buddies and one of his buddies accidentally drops some drugs in the car. That's a really common thing. Like this book actually tells you how to search your own car the way the cops do, because it's written by a former cop, former prosecutor, and former FBI agent, all the same person, plus a writer who's just good at writing, who's did the police beat for a newspaper. So both of them have seen a lot of ends of the law enforcement industrial complex. So yeah, that book is called Arrest Proof Yourself. And another book I recommend is You and the Police by Boston Tea Party. It's an older book. Very good. Both very good books. Get them on Amazon. Use the Freedom Fiends affiliate link on the sidebar of freedomfiends.com. Helps us out and you don't pay any extra. Amazon gives us a little tip. For us, giving you a little tip, like getting the books Arrest Proof Yourself by some guy and You and the Police by Boston Tea Party. So the thing that led me to wanting to exercise today, when I went down and spent 5 minutes on the treadmill that we bought 10 years ago, and I haven't used it since. It's been sitting down there. I probably used it, I don't know, 8 years ago, maybe. And it was like, I mean, it was covered with dust. It was covered with cat hair. It was folded up. I didn't even remember how to turn it on. It'd been that long, man. You know, I actually thought about selling it at one point. I was like, I'll never use that. It doesn't matter. And I went online and like, there's so little resale value on those because everybody does that. Everybody spends $500 on a treadmill and then uses it 8 times and then uses it once more a year later and then never uses it. And then it's taken up space and they sell it. So, I mean, if you look at Craigslist, if you look at, you know, Facebook, I don't know, trade your stuff, sell anything but guns.com. I don't know what it's called. Whatever the thing on Facebook is where you can sell anything except guns, which I think is largely stolen. A lot of stolen things because there's a lot of things like, you know, I have 18 iPhones and 27 Android phones. Make me an offer on all of them. Like, why would you have that? I don't know. It's possible it's not stolen, but a lot of it looks stolen. And then a lot of it looks like people who don't know how to defer gratification, which is a big problem, especially with anybody born after 1984, you know, Gen X, what is it? Millennials and Gen Z. Yeah, a lot of those people don't know how to work and they don't know how to defer gratification. I'm not saying that people before that knew a lot more, but basically people after that are not as good at it because by the time anyone born in 84 was in school, everyone was telling them they could be whatever they want. Everyone was telling them, praising them all the time, making them feel good and telling them that they could succeed if they just dreamed it. There was a little bit of that. I'm 54. There was a little bit of that. I was born in 64. So, and I'm 54 years old now. So there was a little bit of that, like the tail end of, there was a little bit of that probably in seventh grade when I was, let's see, 64, 74, like 71. That was starting to creep in, the everybody wins soccer and the performance trophy, you know, participation trophies, which to paraphrase some video I saw recently, like those actually make things worse because they make it worse for the kids that actually work hard. And then the kids that get the participation trophies, either they realize they didn't earn it and it makes them feel bad, or worse yet, people tell them they didn't earn it and it makes them feel worse. So all of that was a bad idea. So you ended up with a generation of people that are really entitled, believe they can do anything, and then get into the real world and like get their butt kicked. You know, they can't have mommy come yell at the principal to get an A. They can't get they don't get paid just for showing up. It's kind of difficult, man. I mean, people are clamoring that they want $15 an hour, which seems like an absurd amount of money to pay people for manual labor. But I have tried to pay people that for manual labor in my state. Like I've tried to pay people for, you know, yard work. And I have people that'll do it for a while and then they do something crazy, like bring their, you know, son who's just out of prison and he's on meth and like, you know, crazy and like, oh, my son's here. You can just pay him $10 an hour. And I'm like, I didn't agree to that. You didn't tell me. And I'm like, well, he's here. We're going to work. I'm like, okay, well, there's a lot of work to do. So I don't like what you did, but we'll try it. And then the son actually like ends up making things worse that I don't realize until after he left, you know? So, and he's, you know, calling people up and inviting them over to my house and things like that. Crazy stuff. Like that's a good worker where I live. And when I say where I live, there's nothing wrong with where I live, except that it's got a low population. This is a population thing. Cause as much as I didn't like Los Angeles and I have problems with it, it was really easy to get good workers there. You know, first of all, these Mexicans that everyone says, they're ruining our country. They work, a lot of them work really hard for not a lot of money. And yeah, I'm not into unlimited immigration, only because there's a government, only because there's a welfare state. If there was not a welfare state, even if there was still a government, but if there was no welfare state, and if you came here, you had to work or die, I'd be more open to open immigration. But, yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, and like the worst people I've hired are the people that are generally, you know, born after 1984. I'm not saying everyone under that age is bad. There's some, we had one kid come work that was the son of a family friend, and that guy worked so hard. He was 17 and he worked incredibly well and hard for $15 an hour. It's mind blowing. I would hire, you know, four of those guys several days a year to do yard work and eat, you know, clear the eaves out and pull weeds and things like that. But yeah, most people won't do it. Like I hire people and I look out the window and 2 out of 5 times that I happen to glance out the window, they're on their phone or they're looking at their phone. That's not working. You know, I mean, I'm not expecting that you don't take even a break to catch your breath in, you know, 4 hours of work. But I don't expect that 2/5 of the time you're looking at your phone. That's not working. And I had a guy like, so I got tired of paying people 15. Basically what I'm saying is I welcome our robot overlords because they're going to, I'm kidding, but I welcome robots.
The 6th annual Midwest Peace of Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Vanat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, Fest.org. Dogs welcome, longer leashes recommended.